and therefore it supersedes the Quinquagesima Sunday, which today is. That's why you see the decorations on the altar and the flowers and things. However, and I ask you therefore to please remember the sisters, pray for the sisters, pray for the convent, pray for our effort in the formation of a convent and a good convent. The Saint Scholastica will pray to help us and be our guide and model for our sisters. However, we will read today the epistle and gospel appointed to be read for this Quinquagesima Sunday. And the epistle is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious. It is not self-seeking, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I felt as a child, and I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then we see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What wouldst thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I wish merely to, first of all this morning, just to point out certain points in the bulletin. There will be no catechism class today. And with coming up of Mardi Gras, which we are in, as pointed out in the bulletin, it's a little time for a little rejoicing before the great fast begins on Wednesday. And in the meantime, while we're doing that we should pray for the sins that we know that will be committed over these next two or three days elsewhere. So, but because it has been brutalized elsewhere does not mean that we cannot observe it as it should be observed, as good, holy Catholic people. We will have Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament every Friday evening during Lent at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, which of course is Ash Wednesday, it is not a holy day of obligation, but it is a day that we could hardly miss Mass. Therefore, it is also a day of fast and abstinence, complete abstinence and serious fasting. Not that it should be that much more serious on that day than any other day during Lent, but it is a day that we should certainly think on the significance of it all. It is a no-nonsense day. Masses will be in this church on that day at 6 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and 7 o'clock in the evening. Of course, since I must put a mistake in the bulletin each week, last Sunday I said that the evening Mass was at 8 o'clock. That's incorrect. The evening Mass is at 7. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then my beloved people. Today's epistle of St. Paul was well placed in this particular location of the liturgical year because of what it had to say. And the message in it is very loud and very clear. And that is that whatever we do, if it is not done with the proper interior disposition, we may as well not bother. We will not gain, any merit whatever. And sometimes, as we tell the children what part of no they don't understand, we can tell ourselves what part of nothing do we not understand. If we do not have the proper interior disposition for the things that we do, nothing profits us at all. Today we have gotten, perhaps because in too many places or wherever that were that there's a lack of priests or whatever, we've gotten the mistaken idea that we can satisfy the regulations of Almighty God, the requirements of Almighty God, by the good works that we perform. By good works we mean prayers and fastings and attending masses and rosaries and all that, among other things. This won't do it. We can wear our knees out in prayer. If our interior disposition is not as it should be, it profits us nothing. And we have said before, speaking in terms of humility, certainly we know that faith, hope, and charity are the greatest of all the virtues. And we know also that humility is certainly not on a par of importance with faith, hope, and charity. And as we were told this morning, charity of the three is the greatest. But if faith and hope and charity are not constructed on the foundations of humility, they're worthless. Humility is the ingredient that makes faith and makes hope and makes charity work. Are we humble? And what is humility? Is humility that which we go about life saying, oh yes, I am worthless, I'm no good, I am this, I am that, I'm a poor sinner, I'm a wretched sinner, I'm this, I'm that, or the other. Is that humility? That's not humility at all. When somebody contradicts us, or when somebody tries to tell us something, or when somebody tries to teach us something, or when somebody tries to point out something that we need to know, what is our reaction? We may not show it visibly, but interiorly, internally, what is our reaction? When we are not permitted to exercise our own self-will, when we're not permitted to exercise our own self-opinion, when we're not permitted to exercise our own self-justifying logic, when we're not permitted to point out our own personal intelligence, which is highly to be questioned anyway, what is our reaction? I don't mean exteriorly. I mean interiorly. When we speak of goodwill, what do we mean by goodwill? Remember, we must never ever forget that the angels did not appear to the doctors of the church when Christ was born. They did not appear to the intelligent ones, the ones who knew what was in the books, the teachers. The angels didn't go near such people. Who did they go to? Where did they find goodwill? Is intelligence and instruction and all that business, is that what forms goodwill? Not really. Apparently the angels didn't think so. And who was the first one? Who were the first ones that went to visit our blessed Savior? The shepherds. And we won't go into the description of the shepherds because I think we've done that already. Now, this is Lent coming up. And during Lent, we all have the custom of, well, I'm going to give up candy during Lent. Or I'm going to give up cigarettes during Lent. Or I'm going to give up beer or whiskey during Lent. Or movies. Or whatever. In themselves, that's all right. That's kid stuff, however. Children give up cake and ice cream during Lent. I'm going to make a suggestion. For something to give up during Lent this year. First of all, I'm going to say, don't give up candy. Eat all the candy you wish. Eat all the cake you wish. I've got something else I'd like for you to give up. For us, for me. I must be careful that I don't become a castaway. I would like for us to give up self-will during this Lent. That's a challenge. Do you think we can do it? Now, I don't mean by that that we should take on the appearance of being mousy, you know? Oh, going around, oh, yes, 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 and oh, yes, 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 this, and yes, 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 that, and being sweetie pie this, and sweetie pie that, and oh, yes, mother, and no mother, and yes, lovey-dovey, and no lovey-dovey. I don't mean any of that garbage. That's children's stuff. I mean the deep-seated ability for us to give up our own self-will. And we have to understand what self-will is. And that it is really that we give up our own opinion sometimes. You know, there are times when I myself might find myself to make an occasional mistake. I don't make many mistakes, you know, because after all, I am a little bit on the perfect side. And when I say I want something, I would like for the whole world to jump at my suggestion. Because my suggestions are always the best. And don't anybody ever doubt that. And so when somebody comes to me and starts blowing holes or shooting holes in my absolutely wonderful suggestions, that's when the rub comes in. How dare you contradict me? Because after all, I have prior knowledge. And I must not be contradicted. Is that not the way we feel when someone reproaches us? Giving up our self-will during Lent is a real gift to Almighty God. And all we have to do is to look at our divine Savior. And our divine Savior, if you will notice, is not asking us to do one thing that he himself before us did not do. Therefore, I throw out this challenge to all of us, myself included. You know, I am human, and being human, I'm subject to mistake. And I'm subject to being incorrect. I don't like to mention certain things sometimes, but sometimes for information's purposes, it is good that maybe this or that be brought to our attention. We are here, we've asked this question before, why am I here? And we are here because it is a matter of faith. But I think sometimes, not us, please God, that our faith is not being carried on the golden platter of humility, but on the tin can of pride. And as we go, and history is talking to us right now, and even in our impregnable fortresses of sacred tradition, they're being shot down one by one. And only just in the last week or two or three, a large segment in South America collapsed under pressure. It is not how much we know. That is going to attract the notice of Almighty God. It is not how much we do that's going to attract Almighty God. It is our attitude of mind and humility and humble prayer. The one thing that today is lacking in too many of our places that we call traditional strongholds, my beloved people, is lack of, I can't think of the word, lack of emphasis. Lack of emphasis on the importance of prayer. I do not mean prayers. I mean prayer, contemplation. And we certainly have talked about contemplation here enough. And what is required of us in contemplation. And we're not talking here of mystical experience. We all already know that. But that everything we do, from the moment we get up in the morning to the moment we go to bed at night, our life is prayer. Going to work, driving down the street, going to school, reading a book, mowing the lawn, cooking, washing, scrubbing, whatever. if we love God, then all of this is an act of love. And that's all we're talking about, my beloved people, is love. St. Paul's epistle on charity is so mistaken or taken poorly by most people, particularly those not of our faith. And it's taken to mean fellowship. And today, the LUV people love, you know. That's not charity. I'm speaking of love. And I'm speaking to mothers and fathers and husbands and wives, monks and nuns, not really, because they're not supposed to know. But you remember the days gone by when you first met your spouse. And wherever you went, and whatever you did, and whoever you talked to, did you not feel a warmth all around you? The warmth of your beloved? At the office, having dinner with the boss, putting gasoline in your car, or 10,000 other things that you undoubtedly have to do in a day's work, did you not feel the warmth of the one you loved? It followed you like a shadow, didn't it? And because you loved intensely, what was the one thing that you had uppermost in your mind or minds that in the presence or in the feeling of this warmth that surrounds me, I cannot possibly do anything to hurt? Do you not remember those days? When the glow of the beloved was all around us. We call that love, not affection. Affection has to do with chemistry. As soon as the fears is gone, the affection is gone. Today we go on fears. That's why we talk about number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. We need to apologize to a certain king who had six wives once upon a time. He was a piker. The biggest trouble with us today in this, our great culture of the 21st century, is that we no longer know how to love. And the kind of love that I'm speaking of here that we had for each other once upon a time is the kind of love that we should have for God. And that the glow of God, that the warmth of God is with us wherever we go and wherever or whatever we do. That is contemplation. It doesn't mean that we have to stand out like sore thumbs, or that we have to take time out in the midst of a business transaction to give thought to our beloved. Not at all. It means that we love and that we are working toward a purpose for which we were intended. And it is because we love that we hope. It is because we love that we love. It is because we have love that we have faith. That's where the kernel of it all is. Lent is not a giving up of anything that we normally are accustomed to. Lent is a reconstruction of our thinking process. And let us not make the mistake that we are all, many of us today are making, that we can figure these things out by way of information. Faith, my beloved people, will not be gotten because of what we know. That's a strong one. Oh, I'm not denying that knowing is helpful. Faith is a gift. It is a pure gift of Almighty God. And I have to show Almighty God that my disposition is such that I'm worthy of that gift. Look at the shepherds. Look at the three wise men we just got finished celebrating their feast. Look at these people. Look at Mary Magdalene. Look at the good thief. And you want to know something? You know the story of the poor little lady, poor little Samaritan woman at the well, when our blessed Lord stopped by the well and he was thirsty, he wanted some water to drink. And they had a little back and forth conversation going, in which conversation he pointed out to her that she had more than one husband, or rather she was working with more than one that she called husband. And besides that, she was a Samaritan. And there was no form of human life that was lower than a Samaritan. That was the lowest possible form of human life. It was almost sinful to even say the word itself, Samaritan. And do you want to know? Our blessed Lord was, as far as we're concerned, he sure was different. You know, by that time already he had some disciples, the apostles. They were in town buying, you know, commodities, food and stuff to have a little supper. They were busy in downtown. while our Lord was having this little conversation with this little lady at the well. Our Lord had not yet told his apostles exactly who he was. He told this little lady who he was. I am he who you speak of. Now these are the things, my beloved people, we have to keep in mind as we progress in life, talking about our love for God. It comes from the humility, from the sincerity, from the ability to acknowledge our weakness from our hearts. And it means I mean it. And when I say I am this or that, then I mean it. It comes from a burning feeling within me that I am a most unprofitable servant. And it is to the degree that I mean that, to that degree, I am sure that the blessed Lord himself will come to me, and when I'm frightened, and when I'm scared, and when I'm worried, and when I'm concerned about this or that or the other, it is then that our blessed Lord will put his arm around me. And he will tell me that I am he. Be not afraid. My beloved people.